Hey guys, good to see you. Good to be here with you. Let's open our Bibles, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 57. We're doing these big long sections in the Gospel of Luke, and it's a big change, so we're still kind of trying to get the rhythm of how that works. I'd like to just pick one point and just, you know, focus completely on that. But, you know, the Word of God is so rich and powerful. Last time that Anthony taught, he talked about Mary and Elizabeth and then Mary's song. And he had a lot of nice, the Hebrew referrals to, and there was a lot of good stuff there. The time before that, I talked about this, and I'm going to review this because it kind of jumps right into what I'm going to talk about today, where there was two old people, Zechariah, right? And who? Elizabeth. And they were chosen by God, these two old people, they were chosen by God to bring the forerunner to the Messiah, who is John the Baptist, right? And it says about them, they were living right, they were faithful, they were doing what they were supposed to do, but they couldn't have any kids. This is a huge problem if your child is going to be the forerunner, right? But God had a plan, and God was going to do it. It's always about what God can do, not about what we can do. And so Zechariah, he had his turn to go to the temple and serve there, and he had this privilege, this once-in-a-lifetime, really, privilege to go in and burn the incense. And we talked about how incense is like prayer, and God, you know, hears our prayers, and it's like sweet-smelling incense that rises up before his throne. So the angel Gabriel visits Zechariah while he was serving, while he was doing what he was supposed to do, while he was there in with the incense and that, and the angel tells him, do not be afraid, that God's going to do what he wants to do, and that he would have a son, and this son would be a joy, and he would be a delight, and he would be great in the sight of the Lord. And some of the things that John the Baptist would do, obviously, the biggest thing that it said, that he would turn the hearts back to God. Turn hearts back to God. How often do our hearts kind of stray and wander off? We need to get our hearts turned back to God. That was one of the ministries of John the Baptist, besides preparing the way for the Messiah Jesus to come. So Zechariah hears those things that the angel Gabriel said to him, and basically he says, you know, how is that possibly going to happen? First of all, I'm old, and some of you are old. I hate to be so blunt, but some of you are old. But God still has a purpose and a plan, and God can still do something incredible with your life. I'm believing that for myself. When I say two old people, I'm thinking of, dare I say it, my wife and I. I could say it about myself. She got it. So Zechariah is thinking, you know, it's not going to happen, but God says it's going to happen. And when God makes it happen, that's when it happens. And Zechariah is just kind of doubting, and the angel says, okay, well, you're not going to be able to talk anymore. Sometimes he does that for you and I as well. He cuts it off. You don't have a voice anymore. But basically, the message is this: you got to keep trusting. And no matter what the circumstances, no matter how old you are, how young you are, trust him, because he's the one who's going to do it. We got to trust him. So that's kind of a long intro, but today we're looking at the continuation of that, and the account continues, the birth of this promised child, and then the song of Zechariah. As I studied this passage here, I think what stood out to me is that this list of all the things that we need, all the things that we, you and I, that we need, and as we go along, we'll kind of point those things out. All these things that God provided when he sent his son. So let's look at verse 57. We'll start there. It said, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Notice that it says, when it was time. I love that song shared with us today, but it's a good time. It's always a good time to praise the Lord, always. But some things in life happen when God says it's time. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, right? To everything under heaven, God has a time and a purpose for everything under heaven. So it was finally time for Elizabeth, and some of you, you know, gals that have had children, you know, it's not always easy to wait. Maybe the husbands have that problem too. But she gave birth to a son. Verse 58, her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. That's something that you and I need right there is mercy. In fact, in this passage, three times it talks about mercy that we need. You need mercy? Any of you think you might need mercy? You know the easy definition, you know, grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. The Lord had shown her great mercy. And they shared her joy. And the joy came out of that mercy. The joy came out of what God was doing in her life, in her husband's life. Verse 59, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. Now that's kind of a thing, right? You name your son after, you know, the dad, right? And that's kind of a thing. And then you have, you know, the first, the second, the third, or whatever. We did name one of our sons, not our first son, but we named one of our sons after same name as me, with different middle names, so you didn't have to deal with that second and third and all that business. But it's interesting to me that, you know, Zechariah couldn't speak. And so who does speak here? The mother spoke up. She said, wait, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. There were people around them telling him, yep, you're going to name this kid Zechariah, just like his dad. And mom spoke up and said, no. Why? Because they knew what God had said. There are times for you and I to speak up because we know what God has said. We know what God's word is. We know the plans and the purposes that God has put in our hearts, and we have to speak up. Say, no, that's not the way it's going to be. That's not what God has said. There are times that you and I have to not be silent. So she spoke up. No, she said. His name is John. He's going to be called John. Verse 61, they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. How can you come up with something different like that? Well, it's because something new was going on here. This is a brand new day. And John the Baptist was what we would call a trailblazer, right? He was opening up brand new territory because he was going to be the forerunner, the one who would open the way up for Messiah, our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 62, then they made signs to his father. I don't know, maybe he couldn't hear too. Or maybe sometimes we just do that because if someone can't speak, we think they can't hear, you know, so we talk real loud. It's just kind of strange. Whatever was going on here, they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, not we want to call him, not what about, he said, his name is John. That's pretty clear. His name is John. It's kind of like Zechariah, you know, he said, you know, I don't know how this is going to happen, but Zechariah now is kind of getting a second chance. And immediately, verse 64, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed. When? When he said his name is John and God is in this and God is doing this and God is right. Immediately it says his mouth was open. He's able to speak again. And what were the first words out of his mouth? It says he was praising God. The first words that came out of his mouth, he was praising God. He wasn't, you know, what's more important? He realized he had had a long time to think about this. He wasn't able to speak. What? How long does it take to have a baby again? It's been a while. He gets a second chance and his mouth's open, his tongue is loose, and the first things that came out of his mouth were praise. Praise to God. Verse 65. The neighbors were all filled with awe. Neighbors are watching. They're seeing this whole thing, right? The neighbors are watching us. Our neighbors watch us to see what kind of lives we live, to see if, you know, they can hear us yelling at each other in the house. They're seeing what's going on. People are watching us. Don't ever forget that. The neighbors were filled with awe. They go, wow, look at this. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Like, wow, Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, those two old people, they have a baby now. And they've named him John. Like, it's not normal. We've never heard that name before in the family. But this is what's happening. They're blown away. God was doing something and the word got around. Verse 66, everyone who heard this, they wondered about it. They asked, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. They know that something about this. What does God have planned for this particular child? And the Lord's hand was with him. I think about that for us, you know, for you and I. What does God want us to be? What does God have planned for you and for me? What does he want from your life, from my life? It doesn't matter, you know, what happened in the past. You know, I can look back in the past, but today, what does God want from my life today? And going forward from here, what does God want to do with me and my life? It takes time for us to figure that out sometimes, but we have to be listening. And sometimes, you know, I think Zechariah's mouth being closed, sometimes we need to shut up. I don't like to use those words. I don't use those words, but to be blunt, that's sometimes what we need to do and listen. What does God want to do? What is God saying to you and to me? His hand is with us as well. Not just with Zechariah, his hand is with us. Not just with John the Baptist, not just with Elizabeth. God's hand is with you and with me. But so often we're stressed out, we're fearful, we're distracted. We have no clue as to what God is wanting to do in our lives. And sometimes we just need to stop and listen. Stop and pay attention. John the Baptist, he's born now. They got a baby now. Incredible. Zechariah's mouth is open, and now we get to the second part of this section we're looking at. And they call it Zechariah's song. Zechariah's song. I was thinking about this, you know, do you have a song? Zechariah had a song. We saw, you know, Mary had a song, but Zechariah had a song. We're going to look at that in detail, but I wonder, do you have a song? I think you do. I really believe God's given each one of us a song. Song is a beautiful thing, you know. I'm thinking about Psalm 40, you know. It says, you know, God's given us a new song in our hearts, a song that just kind of rises up within us. And this is what has happened here with Zechariah. He's had a lot of time to think about it. And now his mouth is open, and what comes out? It says in verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, and then he talks about this song, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel." Interesting, this particular song of Zechariah, it's full of scripture. It's full. They've looked at it, and someone said that there's no less than 16 direct quotations or allusions to the Old Testament. 16 in just these few verses that we have here in front of us. What does that tell us about Zechariah? What do you think? I can't hear you, but...
I said he was knowledgeable.
He was knowledgeable, and how did you get that knowledge? He was in the Word. How'd this stuff come out of him? Because he put it in, right? If you're never in the Bible, you're never in the Scripture, you're not going to have anything coming out of you. If you don't open it up and get it in, it's not going to come out. It can't. Now, it doesn't mean God can't give you something. But that's not what's happening here with Zechariah. Zechariah was a man of God and a man who was in the Bible, who was in the Scripture, the Old Testament. He knew it. And it just kind of came out of him. Sometimes we want to know the answers, but we're not going to the Bible to find them. We're not going to the Word of God to find out what the answers are. We're going to, you know, some counselor, something in the world, or you know, television, or some other sources. But if we really want to know the truth, where do we go? We go to the Word. We'll know the truth. And the truth will what? Set us free. Do you have a song? Do you have the Scripture in your heart and in your life? I think it's got to be a daily thing. And I talk about this all the time, and I'll talk about it until I can't talk anymore, that you need to be in the Bible. You need to open your Bibles and read it every day. Amen. Not just when you get here. I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but not just when you come to church. You need to have your own Bible that you can write in, that you can open up and read. Now, you know, I'm not saying that you go to Leviticus and study that, because that's difficult, but you can read the New Testament and understand what it says. I don't think there's a person in this room who can't read and understand what the New Testament says. But God can't speak to you if you never let Him. Zechariah, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I like this verse that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, and this is the New Living Translation, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts." See what I'm saying here about having a song? Zechariah had a song in his heart. And how did he get it? He got it because of the Holy Spirit in his life. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't going to the things of the world to find the answers. God was doing it in his life and in his heart by His Holy Spirit. Verse 68 says, "Praise be to the Lord." They call this section, this song, the Benedictus, because that's what "praise be" means. I think it's Latin, if I remember correctly. "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people." Now this is, again, it says in verse 67, he's prophesying, he's speaking prophetically, right? But who is he speaking about here? He's speaking about Jesus. He's not speaking about his son. His son John was not going to save and redeem. But he's speaking about the Savior Jesus coming. It says he has come and has redeemed his people. Do you and I need to be redeemed? Verse 69, "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, Jesus Christ, and of the line and the tribe of David. Verse 70, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. He's raised up a horn of salvation. Again, he's not talking about John the Baptist, his son that was just born. He's talking about Jesus Christ. You and I need to be saved. You and I need to be saved from those that hate us, and there are some that do hate us. We need to be saved. What do we need to be saved from? What do we need to be redeemed from? Well, the Bible tells us we need to be saved from our sin. We need to be saved from death. We need to be saved from hell. We need to be saved from Satan. These are all things that Jesus Christ has done for us. Paul said in Galatians 3 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Jesus Christ on the cross. This is radical, powerful stuff that Zechariah is prophesying here to us. Verse 72, to show mercy. There it is the second time. And to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. He talks about enemies twice here in this. And to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. I love that. You see, he enables us to serve him. It's not like you and I have anything special to offer, but because of his enabling, we're able to serve him. We need to give the credit where the credit is due, right? And it's not to you and to me, it's to him. In holiness and righteousness before him all our days, to be dedicated to serving him. I think that's a question we should ask ourselves. How am I serving him? In what ways am I serving him? Maybe it's at your job. Maybe you're the witness. Maybe you're the light there at the job that no one else can, you know, no one else is that light, but you're the light there. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's here in the church. But I think it's an attitude of our hearts to say, Lord, I want to serve you, and how can I do that? Where should I do that? What way can I do that? So he's talking about Jesus, the Messiah. Now in verse 76, he finally gets around to John, his son, right? Who had just been born. Finally gets to him. Verse 76, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. He would be the forerunner, to prepare the way for him. Verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. The third time for mercy. John the Baptist, he had a ministry. He would go before. He would be that one, as it says in Isaiah chapter 40, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist, this voice calling out, this voice saying there's someone coming, and he's going to be the savior of the world. Malachi chapter 3, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant. Whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Malachi chapter 3, would come and give knowledge of salvation. You and I, as I said, we need salvation. We need the forgiveness of our sins. Verse 78, second half, says this, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Isn't that beautiful? That's why they call this a song. It's poetry. It's just beautiful poetry. That he would come and shine on those living in darkness. Do you need that? Do you need light in your life? It comes through Jesus. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. To shine on those living in darkness in the shadow of death. You and I are lost. You know, apart from Jesus Christ, we're in the dark. We're lost. But Jesus came, the light of the world, to guide our feet into the path of peace. I don't know about you, but so often, you know, the things in my life, the things in this world, just you just lose that peace. You get anxious, you get stirred up, you get things are going on. But I find this over and over when I stop and I go to Him and I go to His Word, that something it changes within me, and I begin to experience His peace. Verse 80, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. The child grew, became strong in spirit. You know, you and I need that too. We need to grow. Some of us, you know, we're just stuck in that little baby stage. We need to grow. We need to grow up. John the Baptist grew and became strong in spirit, and we need it. And it's interesting, though, it says that he lived in the desert. Now, we don't know. I mean, his parents were older when they had him. We don't know at this point in time that his parents have already passed away, probably. But it says he went out and lived in the desert somewhere, and sometimes that's what God has to do to train us, right? Sometimes he takes us out and puts us in places where he's got to train us, and John was out there being trained. Moses was out in the backside of the desert. How long was Moses out there getting trained? Anybody know? 40 years. You say, well, I don't like this training period, but God sometimes says this is what you need. Now, hopefully it's not going to be 40 years. But John was out there, and God was doing something in his life. He was training him. And we'll get into some of the things that he does in the next chapters and find out more about this guy, John the Baptist. But God had a plan, right? Well, let's just review for a moment the things that we need that we find in this passage here. Kind of small print, but I think you can read it. The first one is mercy. Three times it came out in this passage. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be redeemed. We need salvation. We need forgiveness from our sins. We need to be rescued from our enemies. We need to be enabled to serve Him without fear. We need knowledge of salvation. We need the rising sun from heaven, Jesus. We need light in the darkness. We need guidance into the path of peace. And we need to grow and become strong. That's all stuff we need. Where do we find all that? We find it right here in the Scripture, in the Word of God. Why do we open up the Word of God? Because we want to know what the truth is. And we need it. We need it. That's a pretty big list, huh? Is that all? Is that enough? Where do we get all these things from our great and awesome God who sent His Son? It's no wonder Zechariah had a song, because his eyes were kind of open. When his mouth was open, his eyes were open, and he saw the glorious things that God was going to do. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the way that You provide for us, the way You take care of us, the way You have done incredible, incredible things in our lives. We need You so badly. We need You in so many ways. The list is endless. But You have promised that You will meet our needs and You will provide for us. You will take care of us. You will meet the deepest parts in our hearts, and the things that you have planned for us, you will bring about. The promises that you have made, you will fulfill. I pray for your people here today, Lord, each one special, each one unique, each one a treasure before you. And I pray that you would show them how much you love them and show them your purposes and your plan for each one. Father, you're so good. You are so good. We are just in awe of you, of what you, of who you are and what you want to do. Protect us, Lord, from our enemies. Protect us in this world. I pray too, Lord, for maybe there are some who have not ever believed in Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray that today they would surrender their lives and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and be my Lord and be my Savior today, February 15th in 2026. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do something a little bit different. These guys are going to come back up in a second, but I wanted to play a song for you. You'll understand in a second here. Let's see if I can get this to work. Let's see here. Would help. Zechariah had a song for his son, right? I wrote this song June 10th, 1980. June 9th, our first son was born. Lord, let him be a preacher. Make him a mighty man of prayer. Lord, give him gifts to be a teacher. Father, let him play piano. Let his songs fill the air. Oh, let him paint like Michelangelo, but not my will, but thine. Only let him glorify whatever you want him to be. It's you who created, Lord, not me. I thank you for the gift that you gave to me. Lord, let him be a servant. Greatest in your kingdom. Let him sit on your right hand or your left, but not mine. let him glory.